Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to HCG Body Talk on Blog Talk Radio, where we discuss how to achieve the health and body of your dreams one day at a time with HCG Body for Life. How to stay semper fit, fit for life. Please welcome your host, international HCG diet coach, author, and creator of HCG Body for Life, Colin F. Watson. HCG Body for Life, for the body of your life.
Hey guys, this is Colin Watson, the HCG Diet Coach and author and creator of HCG Body for Life, and welcome to HCG Body Talk. Today's topic is Phase 4. This is the stage that there wasn't originally a Phase 4 in the original Simeon's Protocol. You had Phase 1, 2, and 3, and then 4 was quote-unquote given by Kevin Trudeau, just go back to eating normally, and you wouldn't gain any weight and you'd be fine. Well, I think there's probably millions of people right now that aren't real happy with that that misleading information. So Jane and I, several years ago, when we put our book together, we put together a Phase 4 that we found very beneficial into helping us maintain our weight. And really, it was a journey of discovery to basically find out which foods my body, in particular, was sensitive to, which foods I could eat readily all the time, or often, and not have any major spikes in weight. Now, keep in mind, when you do this protocol correctly and you've gone through all the phases and you go through Phase 3 stabilizing, the purpose of Phase 3 is to kind of lock your weight set point and give your body a barometer of where your body weight should be. You have a new weight set point, which means it's telling your body that this is the weight you belong at now and not the weight that you left. And that's why I tell people in Phase 3 it's very important that you do stabilize in Phase 3, because if you don't, your body only knows your previous weight set point. So if you lost 50, 60, 100 pounds, there's no accident why people end up gaining that weight back over a year, 6 months, 3 years, usually within 3 years, 94% within 3 years gain their weight back, and they end up right back where they left because your body's calibrated there. So if you follow this protocol, which is the HCG protocol, is the only diet that I think known to man that actually had a scientific, systematic way of reprogramming the body to have a new memory point to lock in that weight. So when you go into Phase 4 is an exercise of reintroducing sugars and starches and the foods you've avoided for the last 6 to 12 weeks, getting the body of your life. And, for some of you, the journey is very long. Some of you, it may be a tough journey. For some of you, it may be easy. But, losing 50, 60, 100 pounds or 20 pounds, once you get to that place where you look in the mirror and you're completely proud of your accomplishment, you feel the best you've ever felt in your life, it always poses the question to me is that why do we let it go so simply? Why do we so easily let it go and end up creeping back up that scale to back to where we left and end up being in that depressed state once again, anywhere from 3, 6, 9 months, a year later, or sooner or later. So we wanted to give you a systematic way of helping you stay present and stay conscious in Phase 4 and help you keep the weight off. And there are going to be some small easy tips that I'm talking about at the very end of the show on how to literally maintain your weight within that same 2 pounds for life. And it does take some discipline. It does take some implementation, but it's not rocket science. It's just really about discipline. What sparked this conversation really was I got a phone call from a previous coaching client from 2 years ago that lost over 135 pounds and it stayed within 2 pounds of that end weight over the last 2 years. And he was calling me to just give me an update, and he was changing some things in his diet, and he saw his body wasn't responding as well, and he started to climb over that 2 pound. He wanted to know what was going on. So we chatted about certain things in his diet. But just reminded me of this formula that we don't really talk about a lot, because I'm constantly trying to figure out different and better ways for people as a whole to be able to maintain their weight. And I really haven't found anything that works better than this. And every time that I've deviated from this my own formula, I found myself usually within a 10 pound gain. I call it the 10-pound sledgehammer. It just seems to show up out of nowhere in a very short period of time, and I always have this 10-pound swing, give or take, you know, once or twice a year. And so I realized that going back to the basics is really what works for me. It works for Danny. It works for hundreds of people now. And so I really thought I should talk a little bit more about this. Phase four is probably one of the most lengthy chapters in my book. So, you know, I'm going to kind of condense this down so to make sure we have enough time to give you all the information and also leave some time for questions if there's people who have questions. But phase four is, you know, eating for life. You know, it's like, you know, I titled the show, you know, How to Eat to Live Instead of Living to Eat. And that's kind of one of the things that we've developed as, you know, Westerners here in the United States. And, you know, we kind of are gluttons and we eat way too much food, and the food portions are usually way too big. And what happens is that we're constantly compounding, you know, the amount of calories we're putting in our body every single day, which helps us, you know, gain that weight back. It's not what we do occasionally that causes us problems. It's what we do all the time. And so if you're able to, you know, have a list of the foods your body loves and the foods your body is sensitive to, it gives you a state of mind, a conscious state of mind to make decisions on a daily basis that can help you maintain your waistline. And it's one thing about the ACG diet protocol and ACG Bodies for Life that phase one through three, if, you know, 10 people out of 10 people follow the same protocol the same way, 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 will get similar or the same exact results. But when it comes to phase four, there is no phase four for everybody. So each individual person needs to create their own phase four. And that's what I think that we've done quite well in our book by giving you a systematic way of determining which of these carbs and sugars and starches actually cause your body to have fluctuations in weight. So today's conversation is going to be about carbohydrates. It's going to be, you know, how to utilize carbs in conjunction with proteins and fats in order to get your body to function and maintain your weight relatively easily. We have a couple callers coming on the show now. So real quick, before I get into the meat of the conversation, if you're on the call and you can hear me pretty clearly, press 1 on your phone. That puts your hand up. It lets me know that you heard that instruction, and then I can proceed with the show. So just press 1 on your phone. That lets you know the audio is fine, and then we can go. Anybody pushing 1? I don't see any 1s up. If you don't push the 1, then it tells me that you can't hear me, and then we have to kind of play around with the audio and take some time up. So thank you very much. There we go. All right. So you can push 1 and put your hand down again. Thank you. All right. So we're going to talk about how we introduce these carbs. And if you don't know what carbs are, the carbohydrates get a bad rap if people think carbs are bad. You know, it's like our body needs carbs. It's actually essential for us to have these carbs in a balanced diet. It also gives us our energy, allows our brain to function well, allows us to recover from exercise well. So carbs are essential to our diet. The problem is the combinations of carbs that we've done in our traditional dishes and foods, usually the combination is what's lethal. So we're going to talk about, you know, simple carbs and complex carbs, and simple carbs digest quickly and complex carbs digest a little bit slowly, and they break down slower in the body, but they're both are essential. Now, we have some who consume more simple carbs than complex carbs, and that's what causes, you know, the sugar spikes and the diabetes and the bloating and the weight gain. But balancing out this act is really what's important. So, you know, your simple carbs are beans and breads and pastas, popcorn, potatoes, oatmeal, cookies, soft drinks, the stuff that, you know, dissolve. Think about it, they just dissolve into sugar. They turn into sugar really quickly. And you have your complex carbs are going to be your fruits, your vegetables, your legumes, your nuts, things that we look at as a more healthier, balanced part of the carb family. So in phase four, it's simply about reintroducing these sugars and starches back into your body and paying attention on how your body responds to this. And this is something that people do not do normally. They don't, you know, they start going back to eating normally or what they consider normal. I think eating through phase two is normal, but going back to the traditional fast food lifestyle, I mean, this is definitely not going to be a recipe for maintaining your weight. Anyone who tells you that you know, going through this protocol and detoxing your body, losing all this body fat, getting in great shape, looking great, and then returning to a high fat and high, you know, fructose corn syrup or fast food diet is going to somehow miraculously allow you to maintain your weight on a regular basis, it's completely misleading. And so you do. It is a lifestyle change. If you're not willing to make this lifestyle change, you're going to find yourself either repeating the diet over and over and over again, or just becoming frustrated and being stuck where you're at. So in order for this to do this, it's really about, you know, we're going to break it down like we've broken down every part of this phase protocol before into a 21-day span for you to adjust to the new lifestyle in phase four. So you have phase two, which is, you know, minimum 26 days and up to 60, 90 days. You have phase three, the stabilization phase, which is 21 days. And we have phase four, which is 21 days at minimum. And phase four is we're going to actually put together, have you do these combinations and putting these foods back into your diet and having you pay attention to how your body responds. And by the end of the 21-day period, you should have a pretty comprehensive list of carbs, simple and complex, but primarily simple carbs, the ones that really cause the diet problems, which ones your body actually responds well to and which ones your body doesn't. These are starches and sugars. So what we're going to do, basically, I'm going to break it down into the 3 weeks for you. And like I said, I really condensed this down. There's a lot more detail in it in my book. But I wanted to make sure the show was going to be short enough and effective and give you the information that you needed. So try not to make it too complex. So in week one, you're going to basically, you're going to start to add back one sugar or starch into your daily meals, only in one meal for the day. So what that would look like, for example, is that you've come off of phase three, which you've now added probably legumes and nuts and some dairy back into your calorie content. You've been still eating a nice lean protein and vegetables and having fruit, but now you have different fruits. You're not stuck with the same exact fruits that we had on phase two. You have now a different variety, but your calorie restrictions have been still moderate if you're going through our protocol the way we do phase three, but you have reintroduced different foods, but no sugars and starches back into your diet. When you move to phase four, now the lid's off. You can pretty much eat whatever you want. But I believe there's a way to do that. You still don't want to shock your body and overload it with sugars and starches, but you also want to have a conscious way of understanding what your body's doing. So what that would look like, for example, for give you an example from me. So say I'm moving from phase three and phase four. My first meal. The one thing that is my Achilles heel at dining out or anytime we go anywhere is bread. I love bread. And so bread is something that I've obviously had to restrict from my diet if I'm on phase two and phase three. And so that's the first thing that would be on my list of one of the things I'd want to put back into my diet. So the simplest way for me to do that is that I would have my normal, say, omelet or eggs and my turkey bacon, and then I would finally add two pieces of toast to my breakfast. And I would eat my normal protein and vegetables for lunch and protein and vegetables for dinner and, whatever, legumes and nuts or dairy, whatever I was going to add back into my diet. But I'm still only – everything else is healthy, kind of phase three food combinations, maybe calorie restrictions are within my BMR, which allows me to make sure that my body is not consuming more calories than it's burning. But I'm going to now add this starch in. And I'm going to now get up the next morning and I'm continue to weigh myself every day. And I'm going to get on the scale and I'm going to see if me adding toast to my breakfast changed my weight set point at all. I had any increases in weight. And you'll kind of know, it's pretty interesting that you'll know when you hit a food that your body is sensitive to. Your weight's not going to soar out of control, 5 days, because that's what the stabilization phase was for. But you will see a very kind of a spike, all of a sudden a pound up or a pound and a half or something pretty dramatic. If you get a quarter to a half point gain, that's just the water. It's not a big deal. But you pay attention. The next day in week one, so you have 7 days in the week. And every single day in the first week of phase four, you're going to be introducing a different sugar or starch into your diet. And you want to make sure that you're thinking of things that you would normally avoid. There's certain foods that I've just avoided, for thinking that they were just bad for me. And I found out through this process that actually those are the foods that my body actually did well with. And sweet potatoes and brown rice, my body actually does really well with that. So you're going to want to the next meal, and it could be any meal. It doesn't have to be breakfast. I chose breakfast for that particular example because I like to take my carbs in early in the day, so I know that whatever exercise or whatever activity I'm going to be doing throughout the day will burn those sugars off pretty quick. So the next day, you can either choose breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and I do recommend that you alternate the times of day that you're taking in these, adding these sugars or starches to your meals to see if your body responds differently later in the day than it does in the morning. So all through week one, you're going to add in a different sugar or starch, and that could be anything. There's no restrictions. So if you want to have a donut, you know, for breakfast or lunch, and that's your one starch that you're going to be adding, sugar or starch you're going to be adding to your meal combination, that's fine. The point is you want to put the data in, which is the food source, the sugar, the starch, and then you want data out. You want the log the next morning on your same food journal you use for phase two and phase three, you want to log in, okay, I had toast, my body didn't move that much at all, or it moved a pound, whichever the response is. I had a bagel or a donut, my body moved. I had a candy bar, my body didn't move or move. And so you want to log in these different things. You want to try to kind of navigate yourself through the food list. Things, like I said, things you naturally would think that you want to avoid. But you got to keep in mind, whatever food you're adding, whatever starch you're adding to that particular meal for that day, you got to make sure that starch within itself doesn't have a number of combinations of starches. Like, you don't want to say, I'm going to have a hamburger and french fries for lunch, because now you've added the bread, the starch from the bread, and the starch from the potatoes, and you put that food combination together, and that's way later into this process. So it's just about data in, data out. And it might sound tedious, but the point, it's really fascinating when you find out what foods your body actually responds to and which ones it actually doesn't respond to. And sometimes for some people it's extremely shocking, and it unleashes some things that you can actually eat that you thought you probably have to avoid, and vice versa. Some things that you thought you didn't have to avoid that wouldn't cause you any problems at all actually end up giving you some major spikes in your weight. So all through week, that's what you're going to do for week one of phase four, and you're going to take in that data. Now, week two is very similar to week one, except now you're going to add a sugar or starch in not just one meal, but two meals in the same day, but not in the same meal. And so it's really important that you pay attention to this, and that's why it's kind of great to have the written book that you can actually follow along. But I hope I'll break this down to you so you can understand it pretty easily. But now you're taking a starch and a sugar, or vice versa, but you're adding them in your day, but not in the same meal. So you don't want to have your oatmeal and bread in the same, you know, breakfast. You want to have oatmeal for breakfast along with whatever protein you're going to have. And I always recommend with every meal you're going to have a protein. It just seems to help keep your body blood sugar stabilized. It keeps your weight maintained. It keeps your energy level, and it also keeps you full throughout the day longer. So think about every time you're having a meal, add some sort of protein in it. So you're going to have your protein in the morning, and say you have your carb, and that happens to be, for example, for me, oatmeal. And then later in the day for lunch or dinner, I'm going to add something else. So that may be a potato, you know, baked potato. It may be a sweet potato. It may be french fries. It may be, you know, the crust from the pizza. I mean, whatever your fancy is. I mean, this is definitely, there's no restriction on what sugar or starch you choose for that particular combination. The point is just make sure you don't put them in the same meal. So you're going to do this throughout the whole 7 days of week two. Now, you can see how the numbers start to add up, because now you're adding two starches in the same day. And you're doing different ones, so you always want to you want to kind of look at things that you normally used to eat in the past and couldn't figure out which of the things you actually gained weight from, because you can look in your past diet previous to getting on this particular protocol and kind of go, well, I don't know, I ate a lot of stuff. I mean, I ate fast food and I ate ice cream and I ate this and I ate that, but I don't know what made me fat. I thought it all just made me fat. Well, you know what? You'll be surprised. Not all of it made you fat. And it's usually the combinations what make you fat, but you'll be really, I'm telling you, this was a very fascinating study to do this. But it really opened my eyes and opened Janie's eyes. And now everyone who's done this, it gives you a real eye-opening aspect of really how to look at foods and how you kind of start to migrate away from the foods that are causing you major spikes in your weight. Because ultimately, this is about not having to deprive yourself from everything that you ever loved for the rest of your life, but it's also about staying present and actually paying attention to what you are eating. The real, I think, problem with obesity in this country is not that we just eat bad food. I think it's the fact that we have no clue when and how much bad food we're eating. And we go unconscious and we just kind of just put things in our mouth and don't really pay attention. The next thing you know, we're just up 10, 20, 30, 100 pounds. So this is a process of staying present. And I'll tell you that the most difficult part of this phase four exercise and eating to live is about staying present, because we like to check out as human beings. We like to check out a lot. That's how we deal with our emotions. That's how we deal with stress. That's how we deal with fights with our boyfriend or girlfriend. That's how we deal with the boss. We just check out and we start going to comfort things. And so this really, the most difficult part that people have with this exercise is actually staying present and making that choice not to just get your fix now and worry about the consequences tomorrow, because we know what tomorrow brought us. That's the reason why we're all here, because so many tomorrows and tomorrows end up putting me into a body and to a level of health that was limiting my lifespan by a good decade. So anyway, we're going to move on. So now you get that down to week two is two starches, same day, not the same meal. And you're going to do different combinations throughout the week, and you're going to jot down your data. Now, this is a discipline of every single morning, just like you've been doing in phase, just like you did in phase one, phase two, phase three. You get up in the morning, you go to the bathroom, you weigh yourself. And the reason why emptying your bladder is important, guys, I mean, just this morning, I got on the scale, and then I was like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. And then I went to the bathroom and got back on the scale, and I was three eighths of a pound lighter just from emptying my bladder. So that's why it's really important that you empty your bladder before you get on the scale in the morning, to make sure your weight is accurate, because that can make a huge difference in how you're judging the food response. So you want to weigh yourself every single morning. That to me is a discipline for life. You weigh yourself every morning, you get up, and then you're going to see how your body responded. So week three of phase four, which is the final week of phase four, is really the test of the combinations of starches. And this is where the American diet has basically kind of doomed us. I mean, some of the foods that we love, they're traditional holiday foods or just traditional go-to foods like fast food, like the hamburger and french fries, the hot dog and the chili dog and the cheese and the french fries on top of that, or the pizza with all the stuff on it, or the, you know, having the lasagna with the garlic toast. I mean, these combinations are just piling starch on starch on top of starch, and that's really what the problem is. Usually a protein and a starch, really that combination for most of us, doesn't seem to cause a great deal of havoc in our body. It is a combination of starches and starches on top of starches. So having the hamburger, the french fries, and the Coke, you know, major rush of carbs, and that's why your body just swells up and you can gain weight rapidly, and you can gain over 5 pounds just from eating that combination alone. So this week three is really about really paying attention, because now is where your body this is usually week three. Most people have no problem with week one. They go through it pretty easily. Their list is not kind of major, and then you start to kind of get a little confident going, you know what, hey, I seem like my body does well with sugars and starches. And then you start doing the two in the day, and it seems a little bit more sensitive, but not really off the charts yet. You're not alarming you, because it hasn't thrown you over the 2 pound ratio for most people. And then you get into week three, and this is when you're putting together the famous combinations of putting together two starches in the same meal. And this is where usually people start to get some real good feedback of how your body responds to the combinations of starches and sugars and starches in the same meal. You put them in the same day throughout the same week, and it compounds the problem. So what you're going to do is you're going to now take, you know, two starches. And then, so the example I've already given probably 7 times already is the hamburger and french fries. You got the starch from the potatoes, the starch from the bun. You have the hamburger and french fries in one of your meals throughout the day. You see how your body responds. Now, what's also you're learning about being present. See, it's okay. You'll find that it's okay to have a combination like this once a day. But if you have a combination like this 2 times a day, 3 times a day, 4 times a day, you're not even thinking you're doing it. This is what really blows people out of control. And this is where their weight balloons up. And a lot of times it's the water response. If you actually ate clean for a few days, you'd lose it. But we're doing this day in and day out. But after a while, your body can't process it. and your liver can't process it, and then pretty soon it just starts storing away as fat. So week three of phase four, you're going to be doing these two, the same sugars and starches in the same meal, and you're going to be doing different meals over that seven-day week. And that's where you really have to pay attention to how you put your food combinations together and try to be creative or try to find that list, that emotional list we all have of certain foods we stay away from because traditionally we think that's the food that pushes over the edge. And I tell you, ironically, it seems like a very high percentage of the time the foods that people think is what put them over the edge is really not what did it. I know that, for example, Jenny, she can go, I have chips. You know, we have a Mexican restaurant here in Hermosa. It's got phenomenal food, and it's got the most amazing mango margaritas. They're all natural margaritas. I mean, they're still alcohol. They still turn to sugar, but they use agave and they use all this natural fruit and everything. No added sugar like you're getting real, normal margarita mix. They're the bomb. They're to die for, right? And we love this place ever since we ate there the first time. And so we go there occasionally, and we went there a lot in the beginning, and then we just realized that you can't do that. So we go there occasionally. So she'll go. So like, if I say, look, I'm not having the margaritas, can't do it. And she'll go, okay, I'll go. She goes with her girlfriend. Like she just went the other day. One of her girlfriends, she had chips and sauce. She loves her chips and sauce and her margaritas. They went and had an afternoon at it. She ate that, and we came back. We had normal dinner. I think we either had steak and vegetables or fish or something. I think we had Chilean sea bass and whatever. It doesn't matter. We had a healthy dinner and got the next day, and she was like, I wonder how that worked out. And she actually dropped a pound from that day. So sometimes it's okay when you actually spike it with some sugar and starch or some high calories and then go back to a normal calorie meal. But the thing is, she had that one outing throughout the entire day. I mean, her breakfast was healthy and normal. Her lunch, I guess that was kind of her lunch snack, was high calorie. Then dinner was healthy and normal. And that kind of gave a balance, but she actually lost weight on that particular day, even though she had something that was considered very high in calorie, margaritas and chips and salsa. So giving yourself the feedback of how your body does with these combinations throughout the week, you want to try and push the envelope because this is, you have to understand, this is data that can actually save you tons of heartache in the months and years to come if you actually understand how your body processes food. So now that you've done that and you now have this data, you now have 21 days of putting together, adding certain sugars and starches into your meal along with your normal, slow-acting carbs and your proteins and your fats, all the stuff you were already eating in your diet, but you've added these strategic points of sugars or starches in your diet. Now, you notice that if you notice now the strategic part, there's like kind of two or three-fold message in this whole lesson here. Number one is teaching you basically how to pay attention and how to stay present. Number one lesson, we stay present, we stay thin. We go unconscious, get lost into our drama, we'll gain weight, and I'm sure you guys understand that. But now you've actually paid attention to what food combination you were doing. Now you have a list. Now that list, to this day, that list of foods is taped inside my kitchen cabinet. And at any given time, I can't remember, was it sweet potatoes or baked potatoes? Was it brown rice or white rice? I can just open up my cabinet and go, this is my food list of go-to foods, and this is my food list of avoid. And some of them I already know consciously what to avoid. I know to avoid bread. I know to avoid baked potatoes. I know that I can have sweet potatoes. I know that brown rice works for me, white rice doesn't. I mean, so when you go out to dinner, it makes it a lot easier when you're looking at the menu. Hey, can you swap out the white rice for brown rice? Do you have brown rice? Great. Do you have beans? Great. Do you have, leave the bread off the table? That's fine. I'll use vegetables instead. I mean, you can make these decisions. So once you've done this process, you have a list now of these foods. You want to break them down into go-to foods and avoid foods. Now, avoid means simply that. It doesn't mean never can have ever again in your life. It means avoid. And that means, like the example I gave of Janie going having chips and salsa and margaritas, having margaritas every day, with the high amount of fruit that's in these juices in these margaritas would not be a good recipe for maintaining your weight. But occasionally having them, once a week even, and once a week and one meal out of the day would not cause a big problem. So now you have a go-to and an avoid, which means occasional. And there's, for some people, there may be a complete, I shouldn't even eat that. I'm just going to take it off my list. Now, some people are that strategic, like Kim Landis from Northern California. She's very strict like that. She knows there's a list of foods that she's not going to get near. I think she just basically stays away from processed sugar, period, and artificial sweeteners, which is not a bad decision. But in life, I know we vacation a lot. It's not that easy to do that. And sometimes you just want to indulge. So this is the formula about being able to indulge, being able to understand how your body processes these foods. These are foods that your body loves, not your husband, not your girlfriend, not your wife, not your kids. It's you. And I think that's what makes it so important, makes this particular part of the protocol so important, because everyone leaves phase three. Say you maintain well. The reason why we have, people coming back, and they're coming back upset and depressed and beaten and defeated because they gained their weight back, is because they didn't have a game plan in phase four. And if they did have a game plan, they abandoned it. And I got to tell you that I've abandoned my game plan in phase four several times throughout the last 5 years. And almost every time we've done that, it's been primarily surrounded around a vacation. And it's kind of a given that we say, we kind of actually start, eating really clean, a month or so right before our vacation. We usually get sub below our normal weight within a 5-pound cushion, because we know we're going to gain about 10 pounds. Because we that's when we really indulge in our alcohol. We're eating foods that's being prepared for us on a daily basis. It's, you have to be really strategic about the food combinations you're putting together. And it gets a little bit more challenging. And sometimes you go, what the heck? I'm going to get my buzz on. And that's life, okay? But, that's why people gain weight on vacation so much, because the indulgence is day in and day out, day in and day out. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about how to even navigate that and still keep your weight, you're gaining weight to a minimum. And we've done this and had to come back and eat clean. And if that didn't work, 6 months or a year later, we just did another protocol. I mean, we definitely do a protocol probably once a year, a 21-day phase, just a detox, and get all the chemicals or anything else that we've kind of slipped back into our diet out. And I'm not ashamed to say that, because it works for me. I'd rather do a 21-day phase once a year and maintain my weight and feel and look the way I look than to gain all my weight back, come and go through months of depression, go all the way back down, go all the way back up, and do that yo-yo thing. It's emotionally draining. So this process sounds, to some people it may sound very simple because people like structure. To other people it might be too much freaking work. You know what? And I got to say, choose your own poison, because ultimately I speak to people every single day that wish they had a game plan, wish they had stuck to a game plan, wish they even knew what a game plan was for phase four, and are completely beating the crap out of themselves because they found themselves back in that body that they left. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more daunting or haunting than finally realizing that you look a certain way under all that 20, 30, 50, 100 pounds of fat. You finally see how you were designed to look and feel, and you see how people treat you, and you experience how people treat you differently when you just feel better and look better. Now, and I'll tell you right now, I don't know if it's chicken before the egg. I don't know if it's because people treat you differently because you just feel, you exude so much more confidence and you feel better about yourself, or are people that shallow because you look better and they want to talk to you. I believe it's the previous statement that I believe when we feel better about ourselves, we exude a certain amount of energy and a certain aura that attracts people. And when we feel not great about ourselves and we're hiding and we kind of are disgusted with ourselves, we're pushing people away. We're repelling people, as quickly as possible, because we don't want them to have their presence let us feel worse than we already do. So when you've accomplished that and you look in the mirror and you see what you're supposed to look like or how you're supposed to feel, and then you let yourself get back to that place you left, it is devastating. It is emotionally, it is like somebody threw a brick in your face. And it's harder to deal with. It's almost better, like ignorance is bliss. It's almost better having your story that you really can't lose the weight. You come from a fat family and everybody in your family's fat and you're a fat bone and you've never been thin. You probably should never be thin, and it's for somebody else, not me, and blah, blah, blah. We all have this story. Yeah, trust me, I speak from experience. I'm not pointing the finger. I know you point the finger, you got three more pointing back at you. I'm telling you because I've been there. I know exactly what the conversation is. And when you come to that place and you end up going back, it's really devastating. So I'm having this conversation with you because I don't want you to feel that way. I don't want you to have to experience feeling that low that comes with achieving something and then letting it go, because you do have to take responsibility for it. Now, I know that we all have ways to avoiding responsibility because life happens. You get in an accident, you break a leg, you break whatever, you injure yourself, or someone dies, or something tragic happens, and you have a meltdown and you start gaining weight. But realistically, if you shed all the story away from that, ultimately you made a choice to deal with your pain in a way that gave you satisfaction or relief for the moment, but caused bigger problem and bigger pain later on. It was still us. We still did it, but it was circumstances that make it understandable for everyone else to see why that could happen. But ultimately, you really don't let yourself off the hook. You tell everyone else that story, but inside you're beating the crap out of yourself because you know, I'm the one that did this. I'm the one that put the food in my mouth, and I'm the one that blew myself up. So this is what this phase four plan is about. And it's about being serious. It's about being present. It's about caring enough to pay attention, but also caring enough to do this every single day. And I know, trust me, I know it sounds like a lot of hard work. And actually, it gets easier when you do it. And that's why I said the STEM dish is that, you know, the gentleman that we coached a couple of years ago that has been doing this for 2 years reminded me that Jay and I did it for 2 years and then went on vacation. I said, oh, you know, it's got to be a different way to do a different way of doing this. Let me figure out another way. I played around and tried different tests and different experiments because that's what I do. I keep thinking it's got to be a different way to crack the code. And I'm coming back to tell you, so far I haven't found a better way. So now that you have the information, now I'm going to talk about how you implement that information, what you do once you have that information. So now you have your list. You know what foods your body loves. You know what foods your body is sensitive to. So you know what to avoid. You know what to eat. You know what to avoid. You have a green light, red light list. So you know you have the knowledge. So now ignorance, you cannot claim ignorance that, you know, I didn't know that would blow me up. I didn't know that would gain weight because you know, right? Now, of course, you haven't been able to make a list of all the foods. But really, you could do this. You can go on all day doing this till you get as many food lists, the biggest food list you want, because phase four is not just – it's only 3 weeks for us to give you a – really just for you to create a habit. But you can do phase four like this for as long as you want. And trust me, you won't be having a weight problem. You'll be having a knowledge and data, you know, data in problem, which is a good problem to have. So once you have this information, then you have to make this strategic decision – that you want to maintain this weight, that you like the way you look now and feel. Now, if you're not at your end weight, then you're obviously going to do another protocol and you're going to come back this whole full circle again. But we're assuming that all of you have reached, you know, the pinnacle of your health, the pinnacle of the sexiest body that you can have no matter what age you are, and you want to keep it. So let's talk about how to keep the weight off for life. And really, this part of the conversation is this big. it's sinfully simple, but it's not, and you'll see why. In other words, number one rule to maintain your weight for life is weigh yourself every day. If you travel a lot, travel with your own personal scale, not the scale in the hotel, not the scale in the gym. You got to use your scale, your data, because every other scale, their data is different. I'm sure you heard me say before on the radio shows that has anyone ever got on the scale before they went to a doctor's appointment, because you know the doctor's going to weigh you, got on the scale, went to the doctor's appointment, got on their scale, and you did not weigh 5 or 6 pounds more than you weighed before you left the house? I've never had it not happen that way. So I assume that it probably happens that way for most people. So we know that a scale is not a scale is not a scale. So we actually have a travel scale. It's very thin, very small. It's a scale. And if you've seen some of my my tweets or Instagram photos when we're packing for vacation, the scale is on the bed with all the clothes and it goes in the suitcase. Take the battery out, put it in the suitcase, or flip the battery over, put it in the suitcase till we travel. And we get home, get to where we're going, and we unpack our bag and the scale goes in the bathroom floor. And every morning, no matter what we did the night before, we get up on that scale and we check in to see how that day before worked for us, okay? So number one rule is you got to weigh yourself every day for the rest of your life. It's a very simple thing to do. You've been doing it for 6-12 weeks. It is more than a habit. There's no reason to break the habit. You don't stop doing it just because you're no longer dieting. Because guess what? The scale keeps you present. And this is all about talking about being present. If you can maintain being present most of your life, I tell you that not only will your work production be great, not only will your relationships be better, not only will you get more out of your life because you're actually present versus off in la-la land. So second thing you're going to do is that you're going to maintain for yourself the integrity of the 2-pound rule. You're going to take yourself back to phase three as far as the discipline of phase three. And every time that you choose a food combination in the real world, eating for life, you know, not living to eat, and you go out and you celebrate, or you go out and you have a, you know, you have what the F day, or you go to the movie and you say, what the heck, popcorn, hot dogs, let's just do it. You know, pretending you're loading day. I don't know if people have those days, but I'm sure they do. Your body's going to respond. And it's going to respond probably in a relatively dramatic way based on the data you already know. So you, if you already know from your feedback that you put the other two starches in a combination in one meal, and you do that one meal and your body responded a little bit to it or a lot, depending on what your feedback was, and you did that now two or three times throughout the day, you're pretty much guaranteed you're going to wake up the next day, you're going to have some water weight, some carb weight, some weight. But the point is that you can tell yourself with water weight and it's going to go away, but it will go away if you have to maintain a very, very, very strict diet. But most people don't. Most people don't. So the only way to rectify that is the all-encompassing protein day. The same kind of remedy you did when you went over 2 pounds in phase three. I'm telling you guys, to this day, I really haven't discovered or haven't been able to dissect the secret behind the steak day or the now we call the protein day, because there are other alternatives. But it's simply the only thing I think is protein. Your body gains weight through protein edema. You take in the protein, your body lets go of the edema, which is the water, and it goes, takes you back to your calibrated weight. And this is about, if you keep bouncing back to your calibrated weight set point, it's going to solidify that point. And your body's just going to become very, very firm and consistent that this is my body weight. This is my body weight. This temporary thing over here is not where I belong. Guess what? And it's going to start working with you to get back to here versus working with you to get over here or allow yourself to go over here. Now, this is where the discipline comes in. The theory and actually implementing it is easy. What's not easy is actually showing up in your life and doing it for yourself. Because trust me, I've been there. I did it, you know, for a year religiously, not a problem. I think we almost went 2 years without a problem, and then we gave ourselves the vacation days, and then we had to come back. Because on vacation, the previous vacations, our vacations today, which we have one coming up next month, is a lot different than it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago or even a year ago, because we keep modifying. But it used to be go on vacation, knock yourself out, and then come back and just bust your ass, get in the gym, start keep you running up. And we exercised on vacation anyway, but we tried to maintain it. Didn't go over 10 pounds, but usually say between 5, but there's been those times, Jamaica where it was 10 pounds and Mexico was 10 pounds. And a lot of it's just the carb water weight. But still, the point is if you don't bring it back right then and there, it'll stick around longer. Then you psychologically, you adjust yourself to be okay with that. And then your number starts moving, and it starts moving. 2 pounds becomes 5 pounds, 5 pounds becomes 10 pounds. And if you heard me talk about it before, on this protocol, you don't gain your weight back in the same place. So your clothes may fit the same for months. They may fit the same within 10 or gain or 10 or 15 pounds. And you think, oh, I'm just gaining muscle. I'm saying every little con you tell yourself, every little story you tell yourself that you know deep down inside doesn't make sense, you're going to pay the price. So this is the trick, guys. It's literally a trick. You have one of those days where you did whatever you wanted to do. You had some gain. It could be 2 pounds or 5 pounds. I don't care what it is. Whatever it is that particular day, the very next morning you see yourself over 2 pounds, you either tell yourself right then, okay, today's a protein day or steak day. So you can either have hard-boiled eggs throughout the day. You can have fig yogurt throughout the day. You can do the fast and do the steak day at the end of the day, which is kind of my favorite. I kind of like, you know, sip on tea and water and just, you know, and let my body flush it out, and I have the big grande steak. That works for me. I like it. My wife can't do that. And people who are hypoglycemic can't do that. So having the alternative protein days is good. But it works, and it works like clockwork, and it'll immediately take that weight right off of you and put you right back where you were or lower. And not only does that control feel powerful, that you can control this, and you don't have to let your body and your life get out of control. But it's just nice to know that you're right back where you started from. And now the biggest tedious part, and I want to try to wrap this up so we can leave a couple minutes in case somebody has any questions, is if you are not doing the pay attention thing. You're not paying attention to your list that you have. And I'd even copy my list and put it in my wallet or purse. If you're just, it depends how serious it is, how important it is for you to stay in and live in the body of your life. And for some people, it's going to be more important than others. But the point is that if you're not living by this list that you created for you, your list of foods that you can enjoy and not enjoy or have to avoid, and you're eating and then seeing yourself spike up and having to do a steak day or protein day, it's going to get a little tedious if you have to do a steak day every other day. I'll tell you that now. That gets a little frustrating, gets a little tiresome, and then you kind of go, I'm not doing this steak day again. I'm tired of having steak days. Well, that's because of the choices you made. That's an immediate sign that if you're having more than one steak day in a week, that means you're living unconscious. You're already going back to your old habits, old lifestyle. It's a warning sign that you're slipping back into the abyss. And I'm telling you, people, just take yourself back to every time you've lost weight and gained it all back and how you felt. If that's not enough motivation to make you kind of go, oh, I'll just pay attention and freaking do the steak day once a week, if that's how much you have to do. Some people don't have to do it once a week. Some people are so dialed in that it's like once a month or once every blue moon. But the point is, let's say it's once a week. Once a week's not going to kill you. It's one day out of the week that you actually – but it has to be on the day – that you see the weight come. It can't be, you can't gain the weight and then let it go 2 days, 3 days and go, I'm going to do a steak day today. It will not work the same way it works on the very first day. Tell you that now. If you don't do it the morning you wake up and see yourself, that I don't care if you're 2.1 pounds over, if you do not do it that day, you've already basically made the decision that you're okay with gaining the weight back. And now it may not happen today. It's going to happen a week from now, or a month from now, or a year from now, but it will come back. So I'm going to wrap it up and let you know that I'm going to do a real quick recap. You know, it's funny. The audience on this show is probably the lowest audience we've had in months. Yet, this is probably the most important aspect of the protocol that caused people the most problems, because losing weight on this protocol is not hard at all. Maintaining really isn't hard if you follow our formula. People do it like it's nothing. Figuring out how to eat to live instead of living to eat and having everyday life is the biggest obstacle most people have. For their kids, and they're this, and the kids want this, they want cheeseburgers, it's hard. And without this information, without implementing this knowledge right here, you've just made your life that much harder. And yet, I do a phase two show, freaking the lines lit up. I mean, they're full. I do a phase three, everyone's afraid of phase three. You can't get anybody on the line. You know, the one thing, the arch nemesis, the one thing that people think they can figure out for themselves, which is the number one reason why people come back to buy our protocol again and again and again, those who don't get the lesson the first time or second time around, this is why. So it saddens me that you didn't show up today, but I like the fact that this show can be replayed. I've also recorded this show, so it's going to be on my YouTube channel. So hopefully it's still going to reach those who need to reach it, because my podcast reaches thousands of people around the world. So I know that the message will get out there, but I think it's kind of a little funny just to get the dichotomy of what goes on, that we don't want to know about this because somehow this is either too much pain or we just used to our pattern. But anyway, recap. Week one of phase four. One starch in one meal for the day for 7 days, and changing out the different starch. Week two of phase four, you're going to do two starches in the same day, but not in the same meal for 7 days, switching out different starches and sugars. And in week three of phase four, you're going to combine two starches in the same meal, only one meal throughout the day, for 7 days, and you're going to take that data in and make a list of which foods your body loves and which foods your senses. That means that your diet is personal to you. It's not following eating a diet that works for everybody, because this protocol is the only diet I've ever seen or protocols ever seen that it actually works for the masses. Phase one through three, like clockwork, you follow it, it proves itself. Phase four is where we had to really dig to come up with something that would work for the masses. And so far, this seems to be the formula. And trust me, I keep trying to find a better formula. And we talked about my EODD, every other day eating plan, which actually works really well too. So look up that podcast from a few months back. But the two of these, they kind of work hand in hand, because having the list and then doing your every other day dieting where you have these sugars and starches every other day, they both work together. But you kind of have to understand both concepts individually before you can put them together. So anyway, we got about 10 minutes left. I'm going to open up the lines. We only have a couple callers. So if you brave callers have questions, press 1 on your phone, put your hand up. That lets me know that you have a question. I'm more than happy to answer that question. One person has their hand up, but it's been up for a while. So I'm not that sure if that's a question or a voice check. But anyway, we'll find out the caller. And if not, we'll end the show. But hopefully, as always, I hope I've brought you some content. I know I've given you content that will make a difference in how you live your life from phase 3 on. You just have to implement it. And it sounds like a lot and it sounds overwhelming, but if you actually use it as a game, you play it as a game to figure out what foods you can get away with, it actually becomes very fun and very fascinating. But it also gives you information. It's also something you can do with your kids. Let them know that it's okay to have, you know, junk food every once in a while, but, you know, try not to do it in these combinations. And you teach them, you educate them in these combinations. And it makes it really cool for them to understand they can have, you know, these high-fat foods every once in a while, but they mix it in with the good, you know, the good carbs and the good proteins and fats, and we don't have to have children that are obese, you know, because they say if your parents are obese, there's, 90% chance or 70% chance your children are going to be obese. If both parents are obese, there's a 90% chance that your children are going to be obese. And no matter how skinny they may look right now, that's a statistic, and child obesity is going through the roof. So, you know, take some of these things and make it a family affair, and you'll be surprised on how easily everybody jumps on board. Anyway, so we have some hands up. 757-675, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Colin. Morgan Williams here. I don't have a question. I just always been calling, tell you how awesome you and Jane are. You've been a big mentor. I'm a year away. Next week could be a year away that I ended HCG, and I've been able to maintain. Just want to tell the listeners, you know, It's awesome, and it's just a way of life.
Awesome. Thank you for calling in and giving us a shout-out. I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely. God bless you, Colin.
Bye. That was very nice. 678-538, you're on the air.
Hi, Colin. This is Pearl, and I'm not at this phase yet. I'm a new convert. I found you on the Internet, and I love what you're saying. Unfortunately, I found you too late. I started another program, which I'm ending. I found it on the Internet. I've only lost 10 pounds in 30 days, but I'm going to start your program as soon as I wait the 6 weeks. But I was looking at phase 4, and you said steak day. What were some of the other alternatives? Because I don't eat steak. You said other protein?
Basically, the purpose of the protein day is because most people that have a spike in weight like that are suffering from protein edema, which means your body's holding on to water. So if you give yourself protein, now in the Simeon's protocol, he called it a steak day, where you actually fasted all day and you had a steak at the end of the day. We've used alternative protein days as actually having protein all day, especially if my wife can't do this, you know, the fasting all day thing. So we did hard-boiled eggs, 6 or 7 hard-boiled eggs throughout the day. That worked well. Having like a pint of fig yogurt 3 or 4 times throughout the day. So having like 4 pints of, I think that's the right size, pint, right? I don't know what that is, but, you know, throughout the day, eating that because it's very, Greek yogurt is very high in protein, or doing the steak there. There's other, you know, you got to make sure that whatever protein you're choosing that's really high in protein. You know, I would even say like a J-Rob egg white protein shake, having multiple shakes throughout the day could also do the trick. But something, I mean, I'll tell you, the steak day does work best. So if you can find something that's really high, that equals the amount of protein in a steak and still do it, and you're able to fast without feeling lightheaded or having any hypoglycemia problems, that seems to be the number one, the biggest loss comes from that fasting steak day. But the other two protein days are for people that cannot fast or can't eat meat for some reason.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to starting your program. I'll be able to start it around Christmas. I just got your book yesterday, read the whole thing, and I'm excited about it. Thank you so much.
Never too late. I believe in divine timing, and you found us right when you needed to, and you needed to do that protocol and learn whatever you learned from that. So it's never too late. Everything's so. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Any more calls? Any more hands up here? Okay. Guess not. All right, guys. So I think we're going to wrap it up. But I appreciate those who were here. I appreciate giving me the opportunity to do this show. I'm doing the recordings of the show to put them on YouTube because some people also like to do the video thing. That's how I learn to watch the videos. And just give me another medium to share this information and have people access it. And I hopefully, like I said, we've delivered to you content that you can use. And even if you're not in phase four yet, definitely play this back. And write down some notes or buy our book. You can get it on either Amazon. It comes with our complete kits, either How to Feel Good Naked in 26 Days or ACG Body for Life, the Advanced HE Diet Protocol, both on Amazon. My wife's got a great recipe book. And we will be launching a new coaching program here hopefully next week, this time next week or maybe the end of next week or the weekend, because it's a ACG Underground Revolution, which is going to be a step-by-step breakdown of the entire protocol, our protocol, through a live coaching program through Facebook, through a Facebook group. So it's going to be also a Facebook group that everybody can have conversation. They can post their photos. They can post their, you know, their progress. They can ask questions. I'll be there to coach you. I'll be also doing a live call, usually weekly or biweekly, specifically for that coaching program so we can get people that are having problems dialed in or celebrate those that are doing well. But this is the closest thing I'll get to a new contest, if you will. And there's going to be some really cool bonuses that I'm not going to disclose now, but I'll disclose on the launch that will really give you guys an incentive, individual incentive, to really do your best with the protocol and try and lose as much weight as you can. And I'll talk about that later in the week or later next week when we get ready to launch. And another hand came up. We got 4 minutes, 347.
Hello? Hello? Hey, yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I just wanted to know basically how does juicing vegetables and fruits play into HCG, like if you wanted to fast and not actually eat? You know, too much. You don't want to go over too much to eat too much. Can you juice and do the HCG as well?
You know, lost weight was challenging. It was different. All the protein in, but this is the problem with juicing. You still have, only can have the vegetables, especially. The vegetables are a little more. The fruits, you only have a limited amount of fruit you can use in the juicing process. And what happens is that if you use wrong fruits or too much fruit juice, which is basically fructose, you know, you're going to react. Not designed for a juicing diet. It's actually the process to show you how to have portion control, make sure you're getting the right amount of protein with the right amount of vegetables and fruits. And, it's challenging. It's not impossible, but you have to be very selective on the fruit and vegetables you're using to be within protocol.
Okay, will you actually cover that in the future?
Yeah, I will. Actually, we're actually putting together a comprehensive vegetarian protocol, which will encompass juicing and the raw food protocol. It's really difficult. You try to get the right combination of vegetables of protein. I think I've discovered it. Most successful, you have to have a relatively high level of protein. And with the vegetables and the vegetarian aspect and the juicing aspect, it gets very challenging to be able to meet that protein challenge. But we're working on it. Hopefully that'll be in our next book.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, guys. No more questions. Thanks for being here as always. I love you bunches. I appreciate the questions. I appreciate the feedback. And I love that I get to do what I do, and I feel blessed every single day. So God bless you. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.